In addition to the points made by Dr. Mehmet Guluglu, the research director at the CEDA Foundation at Washington, D.C., Dr. Kilik Bugra-Nat, was another one of the main speakers. Would you also be able to address some of the main points that Dr. Kanat made at the conference?
Well, what I think was the best experience that he shared with us was the fact that he did travel between a variety of refugee camps, and he was there in order to analyze the quality of these camps, whether it's the overall quality of the camps with what they are providing for the refugees, the quality of the housing that they are in, or the quality of life for the refugees. And there would be relatively a staggering difference between them, and it could vary within a country or between countries. There would be many different aspects that would influence his analysis. But what he stressed the most, and which I personally agree with, is the fact that all of these are short-term solutions. And without a long-term solution, which could only be found with a political strategy within Syria in order to attain a certain level of peace, not even a complete level of peace at this point, but to enter into negotiations to try and figure out how these different groups that are present within Syria and the different foreign players to have a discussion and come to a level of agreement and or eventually, hopefully, a certain type of peace treaty that they can enact. And that truly would be the only solution that would also solve the issues within refugee camps, within the individuals that are immigrating to other countries, but they full-heartedly believe that this is a temporary situation. They fully want to return to Syria, but at this time it is impossible because whether or not the city that they were living has been completely dismantled and it no longer exists in a physical manner, so there would be nowhere to inhabit, or if they were personally feeling that they were in an insecure environment where at any moment the same could happen to where they were living. Those are all realities that will sit with all of these refugees, no matter which country they are residing in. There are some that I'm sure are very much welcoming the new nation and hope to have more opportunities there. But there will be others that are still going to want to go back to Syria. And it is our job as a part of the international community to not only focus on what we can do right now for these people, although, of course, the short-term solutions are necessary in order to help with the Syrian crisis, but to go on further and actually come up with a long-term solution that will solve all the security and humanitarian challenges for every nation, because it is now becoming a global problem. It is not residing within one continent anymore. And the good news is that they are planning on having introductory negotiations and discussions that will go along this line in Geneva, but they recently postponed the date again. It was going to happen this week on Monday. But as you can imagine, the people that are involved, they come from conflicting groups, as well as the people that would be meeting are of a higher level in order to be able to have the authority to speak on the behalf of parties, groups, or nations. They all have extremely hectic schedules, especially in a time like now. So it's reasonable that these meetings will be delayed for a time. But I am uplifted in the fact that it is at least getting started.
It's a process.
Yes.
I think oftentimes when it comes to humanitarian challenges or difficulties associated with aiding certain groups of people, it's oftentimes difficult to come up with a strategy or to even implement policies that would be effective in terms of helping certain groups and certain communities in the long term. It's oftentimes easy to look at short-term options and short-term plans, establishing something on the go, but establishing a plan, an effective plan, to not only be efficient for the long term, takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of commitment, and a lot of political minds and minds that are efficient when it comes down to implementing policies requires not only research, but people who have an expertise in the field. I think what needs to happen next is there need to be political minds, scholars, academics, humanitarian workers, people who are affiliated with various organizations and associations, like you mentioned, working together in order to come up with an effective long-term plan. Because moving forward, if you just have the government focusing on helping refugees, that's one thing. But if you combine that with various associations and organizations, along with humanitarian workers, and along with members of the community who understand what it is to help these refugees, what is required to effectively assist not only one refugee, but millions of refugees, families of refugees. Oftentimes, these refugees that come to Canada, go to various parts of the world, require an immense amount of help coping. There's oftentimes physical, mental, emotional, and psychological aid that is required as well. So counseling and then also healthcare, effective healthcare to help these refugees cope with the difficult circumstances that they may have faced as a result of being exposed to a corrupt system. So ultimately, what needs to happen for an effective long-term strategy and a long-term policy to be implemented is you need to get all of these key players to work together, and they need to be actively involved in taking the time to meet. Oftentimes people are busy, so it becomes difficult to have everyone involved in a meeting. But in order for Canada, and in order for Europe, and in order for certain countries to move forward, people need to collaborate. There need to be these discussions about what's effective, what's ineffective, and also certain challenges need to be examined. It's one thing to focus on programs that will help refugees in the long term, but you also need to look at the security risks. And that's something that was discussed in this conference, as you mentioned. Now, in terms of international affairs and relations, what changes and policies do you think should be implemented in order to better address some of these security and humanitarian challenges that are currently being faced not only in Europe, but in various parts of the world?
Well, the major reality that I think will definitely come up in these types of negotiations and discussions is the fact that there are very many international players involved within the war in Syria. There are many international players that back certain rebel groups. Or, for example, with Russia also backing the President Bashar. There's going to be a lot of conflict amongst the people that are invested in the war in Syria, whether it be supporting political or rebel groups. And for those nations to also see eye to eye will be a challenge in itself, because many of those nations do not inherently have a strong bond with one another, and quite the opposite, are often on either side when they are having discussions in terms of international security. But what I think will also be easily forgotten is the true crisis of the Syrian people and what they are enduring. As we can see even in our own politics, Canada is not on the same side as its strongest allies that it's had in the past. We have pulled out of our airstrikes, and that is in complete opposition to what our allies are doing. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't think that's necessarily the issue for discussion, but the fact that they are not seeing eye to eye is something extremely dramatic, and it will be another challenge when these types of negotiations will be discussed, because there are very different approaches that each nation can take in dealing with the crisis in Syria. They can be more militarized, or they can be more along the line of peacekeeping And that's one of the major challenges I truly believe will come into fruition no matter what. There are so many players that will be involved and are already invested and have already made their position quite known. And we could also expect them to change. We never know what might happen. I know that France wouldn't be as active as it is right now if the attacks did not occur. That's definitely something that changed their personal position within the Syrian crisis, and then rippled out throughout Europe. Those are things that we cannot ignore. There have also been significant amount of federal elections in this time, which means a strong change in how nations are going about their international security or their domestic politics. This is quite an incredible time where all of these changes are colliding, and I believe would only make this situation more complex than it already is.
I think that what Canada needs to do and the United States of America, before allowing certain groups to enter a country, it's oftentimes useful to look at the circumstances in other parts of the world. I know a lot of these refugees end up going to Germany. Germany is a great example of a country that provides an immense amount of services to these refugees. But in order to effectively assist the refugees here in Canada or in the United States of America, I would advise the government and various stakeholders involved to look at what is happening in other parts of the world. Look at what programs have been established by countries such as Germany. See what works, see what doesn't work. And at the same time, it's oftentimes useful to look at some of the security challenges and look at some of the risks. Here in Canada, we are very multicultural and we have great programs and great services that help refugees. And I think that's something that a lot of Canadians are proud to be a part of. But at the same time, the focus should be on effectively helping these refugees while also protecting our country and our nation. One of the conferences that I attended at the Mackenzie Institute focused on cybersecurity, terrorism, and security risks. And one of the main speakers discussed some of the security risks associated with accepting refugees here in Canada. And he mentioned that when accepting the refugees, you have to know who it is you are allowing into the country. Now, it's one thing to conduct research about the programs that are made available to the refugees, but it's another thing for the government to ensure that you actually know who it is that you are allowing to access Canada. And that's not only a responsibility of the government, it's a responsibility of anyone who is involved in allowing these refugees to access our borders. Same thing applies in the United States of America, is there oftentimes is an initiative that's put in place to ensure that you actually know who is accessing the country. Now, I think it's great that Canada is involved in helping the refugees, but educating the public and having discussions about what programs should be implemented, having a discussion about what should be done in order to help these refugees, looking at various countries and looking at places such as Germany, France, and other countries in Europe, examining what has happened in certain regions of the world as a result of helping these refugees is crucial to our understanding as to what can happen next in Canada. So I oftentimes suggest individuals to conduct extensive research when it comes down to the Syrian refugee crisis.